Keeper here. What the heck is happening? Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin. It is Thursday night, and we are here live, as we traditionally are. Looking forward to it. Glenn, how you doing this evening, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Look, we're talking lots of Ravens, but the O's are in first place after the screaming start by the Tampa Bay Rays. So shout out to the Orioles, who unfortunately just allowed the game to be tied in the seventh inning, 3-3. So big series for the O's. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited because there's Ravens in the building, Jimbo. Lamar Jackson is in the building at one winning drive, and a bunch of other guys. Of course, the rookies are there, the young guys are there, but there's some vets already showing up early, including, you know, the guy, Lamar Jackson. So I'm excited. Next week, training camp officially kicks off. The open practice is, 8 days away, 9 days away at the stadium?
Crazy.
It's happening quick. Unfortunately, the summer's kind of going by in a bit of a blink of an eye. But the good news is our reward for that is football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm with you as well. And I'm excited to talk about I'm excited every time we hop on and we join with folks. Shout out to all you guys out there for hopping on. But there was a few things today that gave me some bulletin board material that I'm excited to talk about. So I have a personal vendetta towards the person that produced this video. So I want to go over the wins and loss video recently published by a gentleman in the NFL Network. I want to kind of start there, if that's all right with you, Glenn, and just kind of chat about that. And then, of course, we're going to get into the AFC as a whole, the AFC North as a whole, in comparison to other divisions. We're, like you said, Glenn, we're going to talk about some camp stuff. There's guys in the building, so a lot to talk about. But DK, if you would do us the honors of putting this up on the screen, and I'll verify that we can hear it. I'll just give you a thumbs up once you hit play. No volume. Thumbs down.
Big thumbs down. So this is NFL Network that this guy's on? Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe.
You know, I kind of tend to wonder, like, how much of this is like, intentionally trying to piss off the fan base for clicks. Because this is such a ridiculous prediction this guy put together. Like, it's not even... I mean, just look at it at Lamar, at Coach Harbaugh, his track record. I mean, if you look at any track record, it does not. There's no way you could come to this, and yet here we are.
Yeah, you know what I think? Here, let's try this again, DK. See if I give you a double thumbs down on this one.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson. What does it mean in terms of
wins? This guy did this in 30 seconds, is what I think.
I feel they start off the season, even going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they start off with three wins right out of the gate before losing.
Well, he starts
one
good, at least.
Yeah,
the Cleveland Browns, but getting
all
it back
all until now win, is reasonable, right?
Steelers, yeah, getting it back with
that's
win
certainly reasonable
over the Tennessee Titans. Then a very tough contest.
5-1 to start
against the Detroit Lions, one of the favorites, one of the darlings of the.
Hold
NFC
on, we start. I didn't see this video. We started 6-1 and ended 9-8.
I know Arizona is not a very
really
good
characteristic
team,
of us, right?
We do. The Ravens always have that one inexplicable loss. It is going to be against the Cardinals.
Do they?
14 wins over
yeah,
the Seahawks.
When Lamar's healthy.
Win
do they?
Over the Cleveland
right
Browns. Then
the
you
Flacco
got the
still
Cincinnati
here
Bengals one more time. I'm going to go loss here. Then you're on the road playing the LA Chargers prior to the bye week. There is going to be a loss there. Playing host to the LA Rams should be a win. But
this we lose our last four
against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've highlighted this before. I think this is going to be very tough.
Bing.
I'm going to say a loss right there for them. And then really look at the way that this season ends for the Baltimore Ravens, a team that always has trouble closing. It always
what
feels at the end of the year. The
yeah
Ravens always start off as a house of fire, putting
what
together a ton of wins, then the wheels just kind of fall off. I look at the back end of
watch
that
football
schedule. I think the same thing is going to happen
doesn't
this
watch
season
the
but still 9 wins for the Baltimore Ravens, but still that's pretty good
dude. This we're not shooting for clown pretty good.
Everything he said, it's like the Ravens are known for, they're not at all
not
known for.
Known for. Yeah, the
not
Ravens
at all.
Just they just fall apart, Glenn. That's traditionally what the only years that you can say there's been like they've started hot and gotten injured. I mean, not injured. I already said it. They've started hot and like had slow starts at the end was because of injuries. It really had very little to do with the actual roster in of itself. Like the Ravens in their DNA are not what he explained.
Like, not to mention that they're the best home team in football.
Yeah.
Look at the statistic of a 68% win percentage since 2000 at home. It's the best in the league, and yet they're going to lose four in a row in the end.
Dude, that just including blew
two
my
at
mind.
Home, back to back at home.
Yeah,
come on, man.
So like he had a splitting with Cincy, he had a splitting with Pittsburgh. So they're going 3-3 in the division and splitting with.
Well, that's not unreasonable. I think we'll do better, but going split in the division is okay. I understand that, but to lose your last four,
right?
To me, is where he lost me. Like I was like, eh. and then the Cardinals won, of course, because the Cardinals don't want to win that game.
Right, they don't want to win any game this year. I mean, they're hoping Mighty Mouse comes back with a full-healed ACL and they get the number one pick, right?
Yeah, because they want to get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right. So, I mean, goodness gracious, that one just blew my mind. 9-8. I think that's so far off. I know I'm a homer, but that's so far off where I have the Ravens being, and I think you as well. I think we both had them at like 12 and 13 wins.
Yeah.
Like you know, respectively. So, and. Man, I just the Cardinals blew my mind. The other one that not as much of like a mind blower, but I don't see us losing. He has us in two separate occasions losing back-to-back games. So like he has us losing to Cincy and then has us losing to the Chargers. I don't see that happening. I think we most likely, like if you're saying this objectively, we probably split those because one's at home against Cincy, one's on the road against the Chargers. Like that's fair, it's a long road trip, whatever, but I just don't see us losing two games to AFC opponents, one in the division, another one who potentially could also be in the playoff race. So this is going to have huge playoff implications most likely. And then like you said, the second occasion being bing 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 bing, four losses in a row, so we're not going to win in the month of December essentially.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. No wins, which, that's just typical Ravens, right? We never win in December. Yeah. I'm sure that's what his next sentence would be. I mean, let's not forget that Chargers game is at the end of the season when the Chargers typically know and remember that they're the Chargers, and they find a way to blow every game and not make the playoffs. Quick shout out, Brandon. What's going on, Brandon? What's going on, living legend? Adam Whittington, appreciate you coming out. And Silas made it for a live, Jimbo.
Yes,
Silas
sir.
In the building.
What's up?
Kylie Swerve, what's going on, Jimmy? Yeah.
Jimmy
Kidwell is in the building.
Oh, nice. I didn't see him in here.
Yeah, we got a couple of Jimbo Slimbos in here.
That's right.
Not just you.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, this guy's probably intentionally doing this to you know, I mean, stir up the fan base is what I'm assuming.
I hope that's what it is.
To
me, it seemed like he was like, let me just fill this out real quick and hop on camera. Like, you're just like on the fly and like really didn't think that through.
The last four?
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. But yeah,
I mean, unless there's terrible injury, then that's possible.
I know that we always play the Steelers tight, but I gotta say this really quickly before we get to other topics. Like, I feel like people are very much sold on Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he beat us last year, albeit he did beat us last year, right? Am I crazy?
Oh yeah, he did. He beat us like as a last second.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But I'm just not very much sold on Kenny Pickett yet. Like I'm not there, you know, with him. So I think a lot of people are expecting him to, not a lot, but I think a decent amount of people are expecting him to make a big leap, but I still think that it's fair to say there's a gap there. And then let's not also forget that the Jags, while they made the playoffs and they were kind of the darlings of the playoffs, right? Like they won their first round and then they went up against the Chiefs. They had to go, what did they go at the end of the year? 7-1. Like that was a crazy run that they went on, and there's no telling what ends up being of
that's
that
repeatable.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So now it's the AFC South.
That's true.
So, I mean, they already might as well.
Yeah. They got the AFC. Yeah. I mean, we're going to get more into, might as well just start kind of. Yeah.
It's a good transition, right?
Into that. Yeah. Because we were discussing before the show. Are the Ravens, is the AFC North the best division in football? And I don't think you can even, if you're saying they're the best division in the AFC, then they're the best division in the NFL, right? Because there's no one in the NFL or in the NFC who even competes, right? Like, there's no division that even comes close. To me, the AFC North only competition is the AFC East. Because
I was going to say,
as much as I don't think Bill Belichick is an overrated coach and has been his entire career. I think he's a fantastic defensive coordinator, and they will have a top five defense. And so if they just have a mediocre offense, then, you know,
they're going to be in the fight.
Yeah, like they're going to compete. They're going to give people tough games, probably lose some close games because their offense just isn't explosive. But they're not a terrible fourth best team in your division. Like, if that's your fourth best team, that's a pretty damn good division. But I mean, do you see the West as somebody as a division that could compete against the North?
In AFC West. You gotta. So the first thing I do when I look at the West, you name the teams and you go right to quarterback, in my opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the West, you got Mahomes, Wilson, Garoppolo, Justin Herbert. Yeah. So that's fair. But ultimately, I think if you look at the teams as a whole, I still think the AFC North gets an edge. So in the West, who's the worst team, in your opinion?
Probably the Raiders. Yeah.
Right. And I think that the Steelers are the worst team in the AFC North. And I think the Steelers are probably substantially better than the Raiders right now, which on paper might not look that way because the Raiders have some shiny toys. Like, they have some names, you know, but like, if you look in the trenches and things like that, the Steelers absolutely win in those categories, which we know usually stack wins in the NFL. And then if you look at the top, you take the Chiefs, who are the best of the best, right? Like, mm-hmm. you can't downgrade the champs, but then you add the Bengals and the Ravens right there. And because after the Chiefs, I think there's a substantial drop off.
Right. Yeah.
But I think we might be the only division. Well, you said the AFC East as well, but there's very few divisions with what I would consider serious Super Bowl contenders. Like, I think the Bengals are serious Super Bowl contenders. I think the Ravens are serious Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
And I think some Browns fans would think they're Super Bowl contenders too.
Loyal Browns fans. But you know? I mean, look, I think they have a good roster and they're a good team. I don't know if you can consider them a Super Bowl contender, but if you look in so the North has two. Legit. I think the East could argue they have three. I mean,
so let's see, the Bills, the Jets, look, and the Dolphins. Yeah.
The Dolphins were pretty damn good when Tua was healthy last year, and they added Jalen Ramsey to that defense. Yep. They have a full season with Chubb as the pass rusher they traded for. They got maybe the best defensive coordinator, as much as I think he's a big baby. they may have the best defensive coordinator in football to go along with the two fastest receivers. They got really, really good players. So I think they got three legit Super Bowl contenders in that division. So my only question to you, Jimbo, is the North better? And like, how much, like, do you consider Pittsburgh to be the better team than New England?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Both kind of similar. Good defense and maybe middle of the pack offense.
Yeah, and the quarterback, that's still a bit of a question mark, I think, for both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ride with this.
Way better weapons, though, in my opinion.
What'd you say?
I think one team has the way better weapons around their quarterback.
Talking about the Steelers? Yeah. With Najee and with George Deontay Johnson. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's fair. So I would say, I would give the Steelers the edge. And it has everything to do with the coordinator. Like, Who's the Patriots coordinator now?
Offensive Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Because last year it was
a disaster. They brought in the defensive coordinator.
They had co-coordinators. Remember, they were like splitting play calls.
It was Joe Judge and who's the guy with the big who went from?
I always want to call him Sabathia, but that's not his name. That's a baseball player.
Yeah. What's his name?
He's Rocket Detroit. Scientist.
Yeah, Detroit.
Pencil. DK put it in there. Let's see. Patricia. Yeah, I didn't look at it.
Matt Patricia.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. But they had two defensive coordinators as their offensive
Bill O'Brien upgrade for sure.
Oh, big time.
I think as much as you want to say about Bill O'Brien as a GM, like he gave some people the bag, that's for sure. And wasn't a great trader of assets, but for sure, I mean, I think as an OC, he'll get the job done. So that's a tough one, but I don't know. I mean, we don't know what the Jets are.
Right? No, you're right. Still has to work. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It still has to work. And then the other thing too, I have this hunch that something that the Bills aren't going to produce this year at the same level. And I think really the relationship between the Bills and Stephon Diggs is fractured. I think something is that we don't necessarily know about, and you know, we don't have all the details there. There was some not reporting issues and things, but I think it's going to be difficult for the Bills to stay where they were at for the past 2 years. I don't know. I just feel like I got a hunch that that they're going to take
a pretty good. They got a pretty good roster of talent. When you look
they
at
do, them. They do they absolutely.
And then they picked up the tight end.
Yeah, Kincaid, my guy. Yeah, for sure. So. Who's already showing out, and people are already super excited about. I'm not surprised, but I don't know. I would be worried. Stephon Diggs. He's
an
emotional.
They have a foundational issue with their lack of willingness and want to run the ball.
Yeah, like a philosophical issue, right?
Yeah, and that I think would be a little bit disturbing as a fan, but the writing is it was pretty obvious that was their issue last year.
And they couldn't stop the run as good as their defense was against
that too.
All the Bengals did was run down their throats.
And they lost Tremaine Edmonds. He's in Chicago now as Roquan's replacement.
Yeah.
And yeah, Von Miller's back, but he's now coming off a knee injury, and he's how old? I mean,
he's owed how much money?
Yeah.
I mean,
he is getting paid.
Yeah, so I'm giving the AFC North as a whole. It's funny, we haven't even talked about the NFC.
Oh, I already said the NFC has no, like, the East is the West is the only one I think that has anything to say because they have the Niners and the Seahawks. And
yeah.
Look, I see some people are buying in. I think the Rams are going to be a dumpster fire this year. They don't want Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford effectively retired when he won the Super Bowl and is now just collecting game checks and not really – he doesn't give a shit anymore. And then, this Cardinals are fighting to be the worst team in football. So that's why I didn't put them in. But they're the only division because they at least have two good ones.
Yeah.
And I don't think any other division can
say
that.
So you're not a believer in the Cowboys, huh?
I guess the Cowboys, yeah. But I just think Dak turns the ball over way too much, man.
Yeah.
And then people are also – and I like Tony Pollard. I think he had a fantastic year last year. But I think people are too ready to anoint him like this next great running back when he's coming off of a broken leg. People are already putting him, by the way, we're going to get into it, but people are ranking him way above, our guys for sure, but way above, more established backs. And I'm just thinking, is this guy coming off a broken leg in his first season as being the guy? He wasn't even the guy, at all until this year, and he's coming off a broken leg. So, I don't know, but the Eagles are damn sure good, and they're gonna be good.
Yeah, for sure. Now, let me ask you this. Are there... You know, as we rank these divisions, kind of look through them, we don't even really have to talk to the NFC side. We can, though, if you want. Are there any teams in each division that you see surprises both either being good or bad? Like, I kind of named the Bills. Look, there's a chance that if the Jets work out and Miami works out, you can see the Bills. I mean, unless all three make it in the AFC East, you can see the Bills on the outside looking in, which is crazy to say. I'm not sitting here trying to knock the Bills. The Bills could also end up winning the division. But my point is that are there any teams? There's only seven spots.
Yeah.
Right. So are there any surprises out there that you kind of look at and say, hey, keep your eyes out for this team to play well, or keep your eyes out for this team not to play well?
Yeah. I mean, so you're talking both sides, right?
Yeah.
AFC,
yeah.
NFC. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think in the NFC, there's a lot of opportunity because you just don't know outside of the top two guys. Of course, the Eagles are going to be good. The Niners are going to be good. And I think you can throw the Cowboys up there and to some degree the Vikings because they got some really good players, although their defense is kind of a mess. But to me, Detroit Lions on the NFC side, I think is they're ready to kind of make a move. And I think they'll win the NFC North, which most people I think are picking the Vikings to repeat after going 13-4.
But don't you feel like the North, actually, I was going to bring there. It's kind of wide open, right? Because we don't know what the Bears are going to be under, what's his name?
Justin Fields.
There you go. As he continues developing under a new regime and all those things, and he's getting weapons and that's exciting. And then also, what is Jordan Love going to be? I mean, that's a question mark. We don't know. What if
his teammates are riding for him though, right now, man? They're all coming out supporting him. They said he's doing everything Aaron was doing.
Yeah, get it. Now, wait a second though. What about? I mean, we didn't talk about the NFC South literally at all.
That's what they said, by the way.
Oh gosh, why would you do that to that kid?
That's literally what they're saying. I'm not stupid. Even joking.
Like, does Baker do anything in Tampa Bay?
It's like
DK's shaking his head. Yes. We're going to get DK drug tested. Like, officially.
Look, will he have a couple sent in a piss early? Sample. Yeah, that's right. No, I want hair. I want hair, dude. I want hair, dude. I'm not messing around with the urine. Now, let me tell you something. He'll have a couple good games early, but then he'll go back to being turnover machine Baker because they're not – I just don't think they're going to be that good. And so I think once you start losing, then he turns – you know, the immaturity comes out, and I think we'll have some issues. But, no, I don't think that division –
another I think dumpster
to
fire.
Me, that division winner is the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Atlanta Falcons win that division by a default. Couple of games. By a couple of games. Well, I think Bijan's going to be a big time addition to that team. I don't know. They were so close in so many games. If anybody's watched the documentary on Netflix, Quarterback, followed Marcus Mariota.
Yes.
He was part of it. Dude, that guy lost them some games this past year, bro, with his knuckleheadedness. Like, they should have won at least three more games last year and should have been 10-7 instead of 7-10. So I think they're a better team. They just need to get that quarterback situation figured out. And then the Niners, I think, run away with the West. But as far as the AFC, kind of sneaky teams, if there's any, I don't think you can look at any of these teams that I think I could predict and call them sneaky. Like, let me ask you this. How much of a rebound could Denver make from going 5-12? Could they be a sneaky team?
I think they could.
Yeah.
I think they absolutely could. I mean, I think this is what Sean Payton was brought in to do, right? Like, you're the owners of Walmart, probably the richest owners in the NFL, have the reins. The faucet of money is turned on full blast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, you bought the quarterback, you bought the coach. You know, you're building the team. It's really going to be interesting to see what they do. Is Russell real or not? Is he real? I don't know. But yeah, there's a chance they could bounce back. But there's still, I feel like, some pieces away, right?
Like, maybe outside defensively, because they did have a bit of a selling off with Chubb and stuff. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I think they got offensively. I think they got what
they got. Some guys
they need. You know, I just think Jerry Jeudy hasn't had a look because he hasn't had, you know, an effective quarterback throwing him the ball for his first couple of years. So let's see what they got. But anyone else, I pick, like, the Raiders aren't going anywhere. But if I say the Chargers have a chance, excuse me, because of how talented they are. By the way, side note on the Chargers, I believe I just saw, and I get these guys are young and they're getting money, but the new receiver for the Chargers that they just picked up, I'm blanking on his name, just got pulled over for going.
No, the Vikings, Addison.
Oh, that's who it was. Addison, Jordan.
140 to 50.
Dude, in a Lambo, like, has any of these guys learned from Henry Ruggs and what this dude's going through? He threw his whole life away. He's in prison right now. He would have been making millions.
And forget that, he killed someone.
And their dog, dude.
He literally burnt someone to death.
They were screaming
from
the fire as they, it was horrible. And yet there's still people out here late at night. It's crazy.
Dude, and the crazy thing is, just go to a track. You can't pay to take your Lambo to a track.
Dude, they would open it up for him, and he probably wouldn't even have to pay. Just say he's going there.
Right, Instagram it.
Yeah.
Go to the track, dude.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't get it. Yeah, that shocked me. Meanwhile, I'm getting pulled over in my Honda Element.
Did you?
Dude.
What, driving back?
Yeah. So stupid.
I've seen you, though, on a long ride. You'll get up to a couple MPHs. You won't go near 150. But
dude, I got pulled over behind an 18-wheeler. Behind an 18-wheeler. So you know I wasn't going fast.
Dang. Usually you can trust that the 18-wheeler, you know, I thought they are on the CB. Do they still use CBs anymore? Or is that like old school?
I don't know, dude. All I know is they got iPads on their dashes, which is scary.
Yeah, because you know they're watching movies. You absolutely know that they're watching movies. I got to bring up today, DK reminded us the Washington Commanders sale was finalized.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Snyder's officially out as an owner.
Yeah,
man, what an absolute disaster. By the way, I saw someone summarize, like, I'm going to try and find it, where it summarized his ownership. You know, he had more federal investigations than playoff wins.
Mm.
He had more NFL investigations than he had playoff wins. He had more name changes in his years of ownership than he had playoff wins. And, by the way, all those things also apply to how many All-Pros he had. He had more of those things than he had all pros in his tenure. He only had two all pros, Brandon Scherff 1 year and a special teamer. In his entire ownership, the guy is a complete disaster. The NFL is far better off without him. But my whole question to you is, Jimbo, I guess this change of ownership will have no effect on the upcoming schedule. Like, Ron Rivera's job is safe, so all the plans he's made, we're not going to see a bailing of this joint practices, right? This is all part of the plan?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, and John and Ron, Riverboat Ron, I think that, if I'm not mistaken, they have a past. I think didn't they work together in Philly?
Yeah, they're buddies, yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
But ultimately, I think it can bring some fire to the team, right? Like, I think they can get excited and ownership can galvanize and help set a culture. And because look, Bisciotti, his fingerprints, if you look at his companies that he's built and the Ravens, the culture is very similar. By the way, I was listening to a guy the other day, the owner of the Atlanta Hawks, Jesse Itzler, on a podcast, and he was talking about his conversation with Steve Bisciotti and said, Steve Bisciotti is officially off email. He does not do emails anymore. If you want to get a hold of him, you call him.
I wonder if that had anything to do with the leaked email chain.
Oh no, it was a business thing. He was talking about how like you get decision fatigue and clarity issues when you're on email all day and other people own your time. And Steve was like, okay. I'm not letting other people own my time. I'm not on email. Like, right. Done with it.
I thought this was a Gruden situation here. Where he's like,
I'm off email.
On me, so we're meeting in a park bench. That I'm telling you the location a half hour before.
And you know, Bisciotti's the type of dude that'll have you sleeping with the fishes. You know what I mean?
There's a horse head in your bed.
That's
dude.
Right, dude. That he's going to bring the mob, dude.
I want no problems with him. But, hey, quickly, I want to get your take on this. Jackson brings up an interesting team. The Panthers as a sneaky team to win that the NFC South. I know I picked the Falcons. I think the Saints have a good shot with Derek Carr because they do have weapons on the outside. Yeah. But if the Panthers – if this Young, if he's good is what everyone's – you know, Bryce Young is apparently impressing everyone. His ability to – he's got like a photographic memory. All these people are saying he's amazing. Do you think that the Panthers could make some noise?
You know, I don't know how much I believe in Alabama quarterbacks. I got to see it. I really got to see
it. Well, Jalen Hurts is pretty good, right?
Jalen Hurts is good.
Is he an Oklahoma quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, and look, he got spit up and chewed out by Alabama.
Yeah, we don't even consider him an Alabama quarterback. He's an Oklahoma. He's a Sooner.
I mean, you know, ultimately, I don't know. I just don't know how much. I think Bryce is going to be good, but I need to see. I'm always in wait and see mode with Alabama because, especially quarterback, because you'll never be in such an advantageous situation again like you were at Alabama or Georgia, where literally everyone in front of you on your team is better than everyone in front of them.
Like, except for like the one game a year you play,
where you play Georgia.
Alabama or Georgia. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So, yeah.
Or in the playoff, Ohio State or something. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I mean, most of their games,
so
they're
going
to have a massive talent advantage. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just don't know. It would be hard for me to. That's a real shaky limb for me to go out on, is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that, you know, that division, I think it's kind of funny. I think it could flip flop. Like this year, it went Tampa, Panthers, Saints, Falcons. I think Tampa's at the bottom of that division.
Yeah.
Panthers are above them, and I think the Saints and Falcons are fighting for it. But I wouldn't be shocked if either one of those teams – maybe, I guess, if I had to, you know, pick just the best quarterback, which is tends to be what we do, I guess the Saints have the best quarterback left in that division with Derek Carr. Yeah, I guess that's who let me see something. Who is Atlanta starting
– at quarterback? Ritter.
Yeah,
oh, Cincinnati kid. Yeah. They believe in him, but look, he's got the weapons is the thing. He just needs to be Jerry McNamara from Syracuse when him and Carmelo Anthony were on the team. Remember McNamara, dude? Remember him?
Dude, he was there for 10 years. Of course I remember.
Right, he was like 28 years old and like had a family and he was
bald head already.
Parking lot. Yeah. But like he just needs to be him. Like put the ball in the right place at the right time and make like two big plays a game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's because, look, he's got Pitts. He's got who's the kid out
Drake
of
London?
Yeah, Drake London. He's got Bijan. He's got the other backs that I can't remember.
Cordarrelle Patterson is like right. do everything type
it
guy.
It got weapons, but I want to bring something up to you real quick. I'm kind of changing gears here, but I did see this, and I'm glad I remembered it on Speak. I just want to read a quote from James Jones. I don't know if you saw this clip. The clip is good, but I'll just read the quote. And I'm not going to sound as cool as James Jones because I just don't. He said he talked to he said quote, "I talked to Todd Monken and he said we're taking Lamar Action Jackson back to Louisville. It's four wide. He's going to throw this thing. Another thing I'm hearing out of camp." So that's one piece of it. End quote. Another quote. He said, "Another thing I'm hearing out of the Ravens camp is Zay Flowers is the best wide receiver out there, including OBJ, and it ain't close."
I'm calling Q right now, Jimbo, and I'm putting it on here with Q because he's got some splaining to do.
Yeah, he's got dude, when I'm right.
Dude, we're having him on, and you're going at him, dude.
Yes.
No holds barred.
That's right. He's giving me free movement classes for life.
Yeah,
for life.
Dude, be like, you're the wide receiver one, and you're like Jimbo Slimbo watching highlights of BC out predict.
Hey, but what do you think about? So he also in the clip he goes a little bit further in depth around Monken's philosophy, and he's like, "Look, Lamar ain't gonna have nine guys in the box. Ain't gonna have eight guys in the box. He's gonna have five because we're spreading it out. Lamar's gonna make the right reads. He's got a great arm, and when he's gonna scramble, he's gonna have one guy to beat."
Yeah,
and that's all she wrote. What's your take on that? That gets me so excited.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, Don C in here, Jimmy, get his ass.
Oh, Don C was there. He saw he saw that blasphemy as he put you on blast in front of everybody, acting like you're crazy, acting like you bumped your head.
Hey,
no, I think I mean, I don't know. I think Zay is going to have an absolute monster year. I think whoever his source is, his plug, James Jones being, he got me excited because Here's the thing. Lamar Jackson is shown to be the most elusive player, regardless of position in football, since he's broke onto the scene in 19. There's just no doubt about it. So now you're telling me that guy who went from not a lot of space in Greg Roman's offense, certainly not when he was doing the QB carries, to now a lot more space. I mean, it must be an absolute nightmare for defensive players. So you're going to have to, I mean, because what they're going to do is they're going to try and put a spy on him. And I feel very bad for whoever that spy is, because he's going to be on Sports Center top 10 that night because he's going to put, I mean, he's just going to put on a show. So,
because the proximity of the guys that can help him can only be so much, right? Like, because if they're going to really spread this thing out, this spy is going to be on an island in a lot of situations.
And then using the punt, what's up, Numra? What's going on? No comment this time. No hilarious.
We appreciate the,
you know, I mean, I appreciate it, but man, I was half expecting something, you know.
I know Glenn was already rolling up the pant leg, dude. He's ready to show off the shin bone, baby.
Dude, I wore matching brown panties to this show because I thought I might have to show them. You know what I mean? I didn't even put on my mismatch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I got the
gosh.
Good stuff on. I got that Victoria's Secret on, son.
Oh,
this ain't that Walmart rags.
This is officially going off the rails. It's okay.
Yes. Shout out to Numer, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Yeah. But no, I mean, I think how shocked would you be? Honestly, I know you like him, and I think he's the most exciting player because he's the only one we haven't seen. Like, we've seen Lamar, while exciting, we've seen him. But how realistic is it that he could end the season with the best numbers on the team?
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking once again, objectively, I think it's difficult to say that. The only thing I keep coming back to, Glenn, is that it really comes down to who between these three, who plays the most games? Ultimately, who's going to play the most games? Because I think it's probably fair to say that in different ways, whether, you know, their numbers, I don't think will be very far off from one another in any of the categories as far as like, well, in the main category being targets. Like, I don't think one is going to be way higher than the other. Now, the only thing contrary to that, like you've said in the past, is that that doesn't really reflect in Monken's offenses. He's got like two, three guys. And then the rest are like getting the scraps, right? Mm-hmm. But Lamar is contrary to that, where like, you remember in 19, everybody was eating. Lamar throwing the ball around to everybody, right? And I feel like Lamar's always kind of done that. He has his guys that he likes. He doesn't care if the people know about him, if they're popular, if they're big names or they're not. If Lamar likes him and trusts him, he's going to get him the ball. That's why, look, Hayden Hurst didn't get the ball like Mark Andrews did early on in their career. And look where Hayden Hurst's career is, and look where Mark Andrews' career is, because he built that trust and that connection with Lamar Jackson. So it's going to be interesting. But I'll tell you what, the most videos I see, it's Lamar and Zay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as of late. So that could go a long way as well. I guess I'm in a long-winded way, it would be difficult for me to say Zay is going to be the standout far and above production-wise, number one wide receiver. But I think he has the potential to be, and I think he also could just simply be the healthiest. The other two have gone injury after injury after injury, you know, and you just never know. It's a question mark.
Yeah, and I think the tough part in predicting is that who isn't expecting OBJ to have a monster bounce back too? Like, everyone I'm seeing on Twitter, like, I just saw clips of him hitting the bags, and I believe Usman was holding, you know, this is talking about a champion UFC fighter is holding the bags for OBJ.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's every time I see him, he's training, like he's doing something. And I love that he's doing different things to keep, you know, to keep his body. You know, we always talk about multi-sport athletes. I love that he's training in many different areas, and I expect him to have a big year. And I don't think anyone would be shocked if Rashad Bateman, you know, if this shot in his foot was truly just, you know, pain and it's not a setback and he can be healthy, no one would be shocked if he's our number one. So that's the tough part, is that there's just so many talented players. But, man, I cannot wait to see what Todd Monken has up his sleeve for all these guys, because I think the big thing is, he talked about it. He'll, whatever his talent is, what makes his offense. So if he's got five good guys, I think five good guys are going to touch the ball. If he's got three and two guys, then I think the three get the most and the guys get the scraps. So I think it really just, that's what I think attracted John to bringing Todd in, is that he doesn't have a set system. His system is player and talent dependent.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And that's the flexibility of is exciting. Ultimately it's just a big philosophical shift. And I think there's a whole faction of people that think Lamar Jackson can't do it, but all you got to do is, like you said, I mean, look at the offense he ran in college, and I know it was college, but the point is that it's not like he's been running a Greg Roman style offense and benefiting from that his whole career. It's actually been the opposite of that, where Greg was really the shift in philosophy for Lamar Jackson. Now he's going back to what he's more familiar to. So that's exciting to me. I cannot wait to see this offense out there, man.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Kind of a good transition, and we talked about this pregame, is can the Ravens finally have a Pro Bowl wide receiver for the first time in the history of their existence? I mean, if you look at guys who they're competing with, Tyreek Hill is the first one that kind of jumps to mind, and then Davante Adams is pretty close behind him, and Stephon Diggs is right there as well with Jalen Waddle. But do you think it's possible that one of either OBJ, I mean, even Zay, I'll throw him in there, one of those top three guys, if he put together a full healthy season, could finally crack the Pro Bowl and get this monkey off the back of EDC?
You know, if it's going to be anyone, it's going to be OBJ, though, right?
Because of the popularity.
Yeah, if he has a 1,000-yard season,
yeah,
he's in the Pro Bowl. Because let's say, he had a 1,000-yard season, he's OBJ, like, he's in.
I mean, if you look at who he's competing against, by the way, Tyreek Hill had 1,710 yards. Devontae had 1,516.
Yep.
Diggs, 1,429. Jalen Waddle, 1,356. Those are the three, the four, I should say, in the top 10 from the AFC side.
Right. No, for sure. So, okay, he's got to do 1,000 and change. But even still, I just feel like the popularity, like you said, is really what would cause him to be there. Not that he wouldn't deserve it, but my point is that if they all have similar seasons, or if, you know, one is incrementally better than the other, if he ends up with the best season for the Ravens of this three and it's in the range of any of those guys, I think he's got the best shot. So if anyone does it, I think it's going to be him. Now, year two, I mean, I think that Zay is going to be the front runner to make the Pro Bowl, but I just think it's going to be more of an uphill climb just because he's a rookie.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless he has like those big splash plays where he's constantly on SportsCenter, getting that name recognition.
Right. Yeah. Because ultimately, look, if you imagine Hollywood's rookie season, right? Mm-hmm. And the big plays that he made. So if you take that, we'll say Zay can do those things, right?
Yeah.
As far as an ability, but then he has the physical, the want to, the underneath, the lateral quickness, that side that we were kind of expecting more from Hollywood Brown. That's a whole other half of a football game. It's like two heads, you know, two sides of a coin you're talking about, right? So if Zay can truly check both boxes, man, that's exciting to think about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they can get him the ball in so many ways. I think that's why the Ravens got him when they had their choice of so many guys. They said, you know what, we want this guy because this guy gives us such versatility at the position. He's not just an outside guy. He's not just an inside guy. He can do it all. We talked about Bam. If he can stay healthy, that's the big thing, is can he stay healthy? I think he's got an opportunity to, again, he wouldn't shock any of us to see
him being the number one.
Absolutely not. But I think the big thing, like the biggest change to this offense that I think is going to help all the receivers, it's going to help the running, but most importantly, it's going to help Lamar, is the fact that I think yards after catch is going to be made such a bigger emphasis in this offense. And with the spacing, it'll allow guys to make plays. I look at yards after catch leaders in the league. Dude, it's embarrassing. Like, unless I missed a guy, yards after catch. You know how many players I had to go past to get the first Raven last year? Ooh. Name, just guess a number of how many players before I hit a Raven.
So you're talking
Yards after catch. So you can include running 40? Back. You can
is 40 high?
No, it's low.
More?
It's grossly
60?
Bro, that's low.
80?
75 to get to Mark Andrews.
Wow.
Like, that's how many yards these guys are like, just think about it like this. Austin Eckler had 857 yards. Christian McCaffrey, 695. Our leader was Mark Andrews with 243. Like,
oh gosh,
we just didn't have spacing. You know what I mean? So it's just like that alone. Like, people talk about, can Lamar throw for this many yards, that many yards? He doesn't even have to throw for more air yards to throw for way more yards, because he's just going to have way more opportunities for these guys to make him look better by just getting more yards after they catch the ball.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, it is a massive improvement if you just look at only that and nothing else.
Yeah, I agree.
It's crazy.
I agree. Jeez, a whiz. Oh, man. Well,
dude, Chris Moore, who, by the way, is still in Houston, had more yak yards than anyone on the Ravens.
Oh, that's a serious problem. That is an offensive system problem.
Yes.
100%. Man, wow. Well, hopefully we get it done this year from wide receiver position, but ultimately we want that chip, right?
It doesn't have to be that. I mean, the leaders typically are running backs, and we don't even have anyone. I mean, a running back isn't even on the board.
Yeah. Well, Glenn, I know we're going to talk about Madden ratings, but I'm thinking that if it's all right with you, we save that till Tuesday.
We can do that. Yeah.
Is that cool? All right, cool. Yeah. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Tuesday, we're going to talk Madden ratings, which is a big deal for everyone.
Of course, come Tuesday, Jimbo, there's going to be a whole lot to talk about, because I think – oh, no, Wednesday is training camp. Okay. Yeah. Wednesday's first day of camp. Yep.
So we'll give our last minute predictions too for camp on Tuesday as well.
Yeah, we're gonna be at a lot of camps, guys. A lot of camps.
Getting the sunscreen out.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Get the bucket out. Gilla Glenn is coming back to one winning drive, baby.
Oh
yeah.
I will not be standing next to Glenn to take pictures I'm just kidding.
Oh, yes, you will.
No, for sure. All right, guys. We appreciate it. It was a great show tonight. I had a lot of fun. That's it for us. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
See you.